Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter. Listen now for God's holy word. Jesus said to his disciples, "Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you rather not say to him, 'Prepare for me supper, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink? Later, you can eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we had ought to have done.'" People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, in our passage for this morning, Jesus is teaching his disciples about the nature of their service to God. The parable or the story that Jesus tells deals with the question of why? Why do we serve? And what do we expect to receive in exchange for our service to God? And these are good questions to ask. Why are we involved in service to God? Why do we take the time to be involved here at the Blauenberg Reformed Church? Why do we contribute our money, our time, our energies, our talents here, rather than keeping them for either ourselves or using them elsewhere? Traditionally, I think a lot of people have been motivated to be involved at their churches in relationship to the continuum of punishments and rewards. Sometimes we are told that if we don't get things right in our lives, if we don't do the work of dealing with our sinfulness, if we don't get our relationship right with God, if we don't follow Jesus, and if we don't serve him well enough, then we're headed down a road towards divine punishment. Discipleship, following Jesus, being God's good servants, therefore, is offered to us as a way to avoid negative consequences. Our service to God becomes something we do to avoid punishments from God. Well, if we're not preoccupied with avoiding punishments, then it might very well be the case that we are serving God for the hope of reward. Why be involved at church? Is it because we get something out of the experience in the present, in the here and now, as we do the work? Maybe or maybe not. Church might be really obnoxious. And serving Christ might be a real chore and a bother at times. But we are told that if we stick it out, there will be a big payoff in the end, a great reward at the end of the day. Jesus' parable here in Luke chapter 17 deals with service, but presents a perspective on service that seems to set aside the issues of rewards and punishments. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he brings up what would have been a rather mundane scene for many in his audience. Jesus asks about the relationship between a master and a slave. He says, "Who among you, if you had a servant, would give him the evening off, and that you then would prepare his meal and serve him at your table? Who among you, after your servant has worked in the morning and the afternoon, would invite your servant to sit at your table while you made the spaghetti and meatballs and waited on him hand and foot?" Jesus then quickly answers his own rhetorical question with the obvious answers. Jesus explains that that's not how things work. Servants serve. That is their role and their purpose. That is their place, their identity within the household. After a full day's work, morning and afternoon, servants have still more work to do. After a full day's work in the fields, plowing or tending sheep, they are expected, without thanks or fanfare, to put on an apron and to make and to serve the evening meal. Jesus' parable about the economy of service in the ancient farms of Palestine, it got me thinking about my own experiences with evening meals after a full day working in an agricultural setting. Most summers growing up, my family and I would go and we'd spend a week or two in Sussex, New Jersey, visiting with family and helping out on my uncle's dairy farm. As soon as my brothers and I were big enough to lift hay bales, we were, like good servants, put to use helping out putting hay in the haymow. Helping in the hay was a lot of fun for about the first 10 minutes, right? And then we realized how hot and uncomfortable and exhausting working in the hay really was. Jesus' parable made me reflect on how those days ended. How was supper handled after a long day of working in the hay? Was I expected, after lugging and throwing hay bales all day long, to put on an apron and to make supper? Was I? No, of course not. At the end of the day, I would get a refreshing shower. I would lay on the family room floor and watch ESPN while my mom and my grandmother prepared the spaghetti and meatballs. They didn't even ask me to help with dishes afterwards, right? It is valuable at times to ask ourselves why. Why do we serve? Why are we involved at church? Why do we serve God in this world? Jesus' parable teaches that we serve simply because it is our role, our nature, our purpose to serve. This is an idea, a theme that we can trace all throughout Scripture. When God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they had work. They had roles to play in God's work. They were not created and placed in the Garden of Eden simply to lounge and to hang out. Instead, they were created with a purpose. God put them in the garden to tend and to care for the animals and the trees of God's creation. From the beginning, even before humanity fell into sin, we can see that we were made, created, and placed in God's world to work with God, to work for God, in helping God to care for and to love and to tend God's creation. After the fall into sin, God's work of loving and caring for creation, it shifted. It shifted from simply needing to tend creation to working to redeem creation. To redeem it from the effects of sin. God's mission of love and care changed. And yet God continued to employ and command human servants to work with God in accomplishing God's redemptive and loving work. There are examples all throughout Scripture. God employs Noah and his family. God employs Abraham and Sarah to play their parts. God employs the kings and the priests and the prophets of Israel. God sends his own son as a servant of God's purposes here on earth. And Jesus calls others to their places of service. And his calling extends to us. We too are those who are called by Christ to help serve in God's purposes. Why do we serve? Why do we work with God and for God? Is it to avoid punishment? Is it to garner rewards? Jesus' parable points us in a different direction. The message of the gospel tells us that we serve God because God makes it possible for us to serve. God saves us. God gives us new lives, and here in these new lives, what is right and proper and good for us is to be God's servants. Adam and Eve lived lives that were free of the burden of sin. They were in paradise, and yet they still had work. They still had a role to play in God's work. As they named and cared for the animals and the plants and the trees of the garden, Adam and Eve were not seeking thanks or reward. They were being who God made them to be, partners in the work of loving and appreciating and caring for God's beloved garden. According to Jesus' parable, our situation is the same. Thanks to the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we live lives that are free of the burden of sin. God has redeemed us from our sins. Our sins have been nailed to the cross of Christ. He has taken them to the grave, and he has risen to new life, which is free of this sin. Through the gifts of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, this new life is ours. God has worked it into us, into our hearts, and into our lives. In this, by God's grace, God has returned us to a paradise-like reality, where in Christ, by the transformative power of his life, our lives are restored so that our lives can be what God made them to be. God has restored us so that we can be partners with God, God's co-workers, God's servants here in God's world. Now, when I was in Sussex on the farm, those many summers while I was growing up, it was nice. It was really nice at the end of the day to take a nice cool shower, to watch SportsCenter. We didn't have cable in my house growing up, so to have that cable, ESPN, SportsCenter was great. And to eat my grandmother's spaghetti and meatballs, right? It was great. But I think that I cherish those memories more because of the sense of purpose and meaning that came with having a role to play on my uncle's farm. As a kid growing up in the suburbs, I wasn't asked to do a lot. Or maybe I wasn't forced to do a lot. I did my homework, and then it was pretty much just watching TV and playing video games. There wasn't much purpose in my life beyond trying to better my own high scores on my favorite video games. But on the farm in Sussex, it felt good to have a purpose. It felt good to be helpful. It felt good to accomplish something. It felt good to have a hand in caring for the animals and caring for the farm and caring for the produce of the land. It felt good to be useful, to be needed, and to be a part of the bigger project. The gospel tells us that God has a great project underway. God is working in love and care to redeem, to bring back, to show love and care and mercy to God's beloved creation and God's beloved people here in this world. Christ calls us in grace to find our place and our role in being God's servants in this great project. Thanks be to God. Amen.